reading of God's word this morning, Philippians, the first chapter, verses 20 and 21. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you and to share with you again a bit from the Word of God. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and they have all these good things on the menu and you are stymied trying to decide which of those two that really are your favorites that you're going to choose? And then up comes the waitress and says, "Can I take your order?" And you're saying, "Oh, no, I don't know which one I want." I've been like that multiple times. I suppose this morning when you're getting ready to get up and get dressed, you can't decide what garment to put on, what tie to wear for a guy, or what shirt to wear, or what dress for a lady to wear, and you're stymied because you got two choices, and you got to make a decision. Maybe it's New Year's Eve, and you're debating, am I going to go to bed, or am I going to stay up till midnight anyhow? All of those kind of things are decisions that we have to make, and sometimes we're in a real dilemma. It may be you're debating, are we going to go to visit relatives or are we going to go to the beach? You know, you got to make a decision. Both of those are good decisions, and either one's an okay decision to make. You're a dad, and you're trying to decide what kind of car are you going to get for your daughter. You know, she really wants that cute little car that wouldn't be terribly expensive, but you really are like one of the fellows I read about. He said he wanted to get a car for his daughter that was a big truck that had a foot-wide bumper on the front and the back that was at least an inch thick of solid steel, and he wanted rubber tires all the way around it. I can sort of imagine that, too. You find yourself in those kind of difficult dilemmas, and that's where our Apostle Paul finds himself in our text today. Our text today might well be called Paul's Philosophy of a Christian Life, because he's going to talk about what it means to really be a Christian. It's a life filled with meaning that is only so if it's sold out to Jesus and to the gospel. Last week's lesson, we looked at our text began with this wonderful thing where Paul says he gives thanks to God for the folks at Philippi. They're very special folks. And Thanksgiving is a time when we give thanks. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been in an assembly where they make everybody go around the room and choose what they're thankful for. I've been done that multiple times, where everybody has to say what they're thankful for. The Apostle Paul is really thankful for those folks in Philippi because he helped to start that church. One of the first folks he will have baptized there or may baptize himself is Lydia. And she's an important character in that church. And then there's the Philippian jailer and others that are there, and they're so special. When he leaves there and he will leave there and he will go to Thessalonica, they send him money so that he can do his work full time. He goes down to Corinth, and he's working, doing the kind of thing he does as a fellow who works with leather, a leather worker, and he's doing that, but they send him money so he can preach full time. They've always come to his aid. And so now he is in prison. Really, he's under house arrest. He's not in prison now. He's in a rental house, chained to a soldier. It's really interesting to me. There are at least four soldiers who are chained to him for 6 hours at a time, all day long. And so he's there doing that. And earlier in the text that we read, interestingly enough, we discovered that he was grateful he got to preach to those folks, because they're folks who aren't going to come to church on Sunday. But imagine being chained to Paul for 6 hours. You're going to get to hear a lot of sermons. And so it becomes such an important thing. He's now debating what's going to be best for him. And we left off with this text. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. And that's where we kind of left off last week. Interestingly enough, it is his earnest expectation. I kind of like that word for earnest expectation. It's a word that we see only here. It's a word for straining your neck to get to see something. It's only used twice in all the New Testament. It's used here and also in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul will say, creation is straining its neck to see what God's going to do with his children. Well, how's he going to do this? What's he going to do with them? And so it's that kind of straining his neck. And then he has this hope too, this earnest expectation and hope. His hope is that he will be released so he can be with them, but he's not really too troubled by it. He says the one thing that really matters to him is that he won't be put to shame. That he will always that Christ will always be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death, whichever it may be. It's to that point where we come to our next text. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, it's really quite interesting. He doesn't say to live, for me to live is for Christ. He could have said that. Or to me to live is to live as Christ lived. He says to me to live is Christ. Isn't that interesting? It is Christ. That's everything he's about. It's his purpose of living. It's Christ for whom he lives. But to die is gain. I'd come out ahead. It would be the end of my struggles. That's my real purpose, is to glorify God, Christ, in what I do. And maybe even if I'm martyred, maybe folks will see in my martyrdom that Christ really matters, and they'll get it, and they'll say, ah, this man was even willing to die for Christ, and they'll come to understand that and appreciate that. I think it's a wonderful text. And then he goes on to say, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. If I get to keep on living, it'll be fruitful labor. You know, God's done some pretty wonderful things through me. He's helped me start churches. He's helped me convert folks. He's brought folks to Jesus who wouldn't have known Jesus. He's done wonderful things. And if I live, it'll be a fruitful labor. But I don't know which I will choose. Now, it's really not up to him to choose, is it? He doesn't get to choose which one's going to be his which one is it. But he basically says, it's not up to me to choose. If I am to live on in the flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions. I like that word, hard-pressed. If you have a good old King James Version, it says I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm hard-pressed. It's an interesting phrase. He says, I don't know which I would choose. I could choose to live on. And you know what? That would mean fruitful labor. Good things would come out of that. I know that God would be at work, and I'm not sure which one of these I would choose. I do not know which to choose. I am hard-pressed from both directions. Now, that's really interesting. You hear folks talking about being between a rock and a hard place. You know, you can't make up your mind which one it's going to be. By the way, that word for hard-pressed is only used here in one other time, and it's there used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. There, Paul will say, it is the love of Christ that constrains us. It puts us in this place where we're really in a bind. We don't have a choice. And so he says, I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. If I were just going to choose, he said, you know, if it were up to me, I think I'd choose to die. Because I'd be with Jesus, and I would have what I've been working for, and I could be what I want to be and be with the Lord. What a wonderful blessing that would be. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been with folks who are about to die, who are faithful Christians. But I've been with folks who've told me that's exactly where they are. They'd really rather be with Jesus. They're ready to die. They're ready to stop suffering, and they're ready to stop the pains and the tears and everything else, And so he says, I don't know. Having the desire to be with Christ, for that is very much better. Now, I think for some Christians that really is the case. And I love folks who are that kind of Christian. I've been with lots of folks at the last minute, been there to hold their hand as they die. And it's not easy. I've been there and seen that happen with my dad and with my mom. And I've been there with lots of Christians. But it's great to have folks who have that kind of faith. And then he goes on to say, yet to remain on in the flesh is necessary for your sake. Now, you know, if I have to choose, he says, I think it's better for you if I stay. Because if I stay, you folks will be encouraged, and I'll get to come and see you again, and we'll get to do wonderful things. And so it'll be a marvelous event. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy in faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Now notice earlier he said, I don't know whether I'll get to see you again, but now he's convinced he's going to get to. And indeed he will. It's really quite interesting. Our book of Acts ends with Paul under house arrest, and he never gets out of house. You kind of wonder, how's it end up? But we know how it ends up by the other letters he's written. He will indeed be released from prison. He's held there for 2 years, and he's released from prison. He will, whether he gets to Spain, we don't know. He really wanted to go to Spain. I have a student in my class who's from Spain, and he said, we're convinced that Paul made it there, that Paul established the church in Spain. But we don't know whether he got there. But we do know that he will leave, and he'll drop Titus off in Crete, and then he'll go to Ephesus, and he'll leave Timothy off there, and he will go back to Macedonia, back to Philippi. He'll get to see those folks again. And so he'll get to see the folks in Ephesus that he said earlier, I don't think I'll ever see you again. He'll get to see them, and he'll get to see those folks, and it really makes such a difference. But do you notice he says the location that really matters is abounding? And it's a really interesting word. That word for abounding is a word that is for overflowing, being above and beyond. I want you to abound in these things. Abound in Christ Jesus. And that's the location that matters. It doesn't matter whether I'm in Rome and you're in Philippi or somebody else is in Jerusalem. The location that matters is being in Christ. Now, what are the lessons that we learn from all of this text? It's just a short passage, but it's such a powerful one. The first one thing we learn is that we learn to live individually and collectively in Christ. I am, we are Christ in the world today. Jesus isn't here today, but the only way they're going to know about him is through us. And so we are Christ in the world. That's a powerful idea. And we are Christ. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. I hope we can say that as well. For me to live is Christ. It's also a matter of learning, what matters individually and collectively. For Paul, what really matters is glorifying God. I want to glorify God if I'm alive preaching the gospel, or if I die, I want to die a martyr who is faithful to the Lord so that other folks will see that and understand it. The other thing that we learn from this text is that this world is not my home. You know, we have that song, This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through. And we sing that song. We got to choose our favorite songs. I think the next time that we get to choose favorite songs, by the way, that'll come up the end of January. We're going to do that again. I think the next time that may be the song I'll choose. Because it's a wonderful song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Isn't that a powerful idea? Unfortunately, we're often too comfortable here. We're too comfortable with everything that we have, and we're not quite ready to go meet the Lord. We're too comfortable. We're too convinced that things matter, and things don't matter. It is Jesus who matters. It's what He's done for us. It's the Christian life that really matters. This is a powerful passage. I don't know whether you're enjoying it, but I'm enjoying going through Philippians again. I wrote a book on Philippians some time ago, and I'd forgotten how much fun it was writing it until I got ready to preach through Philippians with you folks. And I said, oh, that was a lot of fun to write. And it's a lot of fun to study this book. We're going to be working our way through Philippians for several weeks, but I hope you'll read ahead in this book. It's a very powerful book, and it will take you all of maybe half an hour to read it all the way through. But read it and think about it and think about Paul in prison writing this work even though he's under house arrest. It's a wonderful text. We're going to sing an invitation song in a few moments. It may be that we have folks who need to confess Jesus as Lord so that they can live in Christ Jesus and so they can have the kind of faith that Paul does. A kind of faith that will enable him to stand he's able to stand and say, if I die, that's okay. If I live on, that's great as well. But it's all to live for Jesus. And so if you need to respond to that invitation, we bid you to do so as we stand and as we sing.